okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return. I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Riley, Mr. Matt Weber, S&P Futures down 37. We're down almost the same amount we were up yesterday. Dow Futures down 285. NASDAQ Futures down 135. So we're doing the mirror image flip here. We've got the big tech earnings coming tonight and tomorrow morning, so that'll be interesting. Virtually all of them, Apple, Google, all those guys, Facebook. Well, I think Facebook postponed theirs. I'll get the story on that. Lou, how are you, bud?
Good morning, sir.
Living the dream, are you, out there in Colorado?
Well, sometimes I feel like I'm dreaming since it's a little, you know, it's a little after 5 in the morning, so yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Well, you know.
Either living it or I'm living in it.
Well, it's 5 in the afternoon someplace. Keep telling yourself that, you know.
That's right. Plus, I always hear Chief's voice when I'm dreaming.
Yes, well, that's just what you want to
hear. Oh, good. So nightmares, huh?
That would be a nightmare. All kinds of crazy stuff going on. Lou doesn't seem ever to...
Let me start with a sports story, just so we get that out of the way up front. I wanted to talk about the reactions in Major League Baseball, and then what we think is going to happen in the NFL for if they try to start after this Marlins situation and the virus spread there, and whether it's really this is really a practical solution with these teams. But let me say first how much I'm enjoying watching baseball highlights, even with the phony crowd, you know, posters and setups in the stands and the phony noise. I still enjoy watching the game being played.
I agree.
Truth, Lou, do you have your picture in Denver Stadium?
No. I'm saving my cutout for the football season. I look at the reaction of MLB to what's happening with the Marlins, and I mean, I think, again, this goes back to the stuff you and I talked about repeatedly here, that, come on, guys, this is, ideally, this would be what you want, because you're not going to have to worry about that Marlins team again. But I don't see any other way to deal with this. They're going to have to accept the fact that they're going to have guys get sick from this or get infected by it, and as long as they're sitting out there interacting with people at home, and as long as these guys are playing together, and I just don't see how they're gonna be able to avoid that, and I really don't see how the NFL is going to avoid it.
I'm gonna say, Lou, that this is I get all kinds of stuff from everybody talking about the deep state and the, you know, the press is this and the, you know, Soros is running this and God knows what. And I don't know if any of that stuff's true, but.
I want to talk about John Cass too, by the way.
Well, what I'm saying is in this day and age of the press, and maybe it would already be, and I can't tell the difference between, the news, the real news, the hysterical 24-hour stations that if you don't get something every 5 minutes, it's going to get somebody's ears to perk up while they're listening like I am, like an automaton in front of the thing. Or where that all stops or when huge Twitter feeds of people you don't even friggin' know reporting to be news that catch fire and are all over the place. That blend of, I'm going to say, BS, I don't see how you ever get around that, Lou. I mean, to most people that have a dose of common sense, you have this thing going on with Major League Baseball. Okay, we're going to do this. We know, since we've had these guys essentially in a bubble since April, since spring training, or actually even March, they're not going to be like the people in Chicago or New York where the virus has gone its way through and pretty much everybody's got it, it's already got it, right? I mean, these are people in a bubble, right? So the first team, so you say, okay, we're going to have a 60-man roster, which most teams, I think, cut back to, what, like 55 or 50, maybe? We're going to say that this is going to happen, and if it does, you put those guys at a side for 10 days, and you play through. We know right. We're going to end up with some double-A or triple-A people here, but these are the cards that are being dealt, and we want a baseball season. We know it's funky anyway. It's 60 games, right? But let's just play, and let's see what happens. That's what anybody with any common sense would have done, and baseball, after months of arguing over common sense, decided to do that. So the first team,
I think that makes perfect sense.
So the first team that gets a problem,
we're going to treat it like any other illness that strikes a club.
Yes.
Guys get sick, they get put on the shelf. We bring up new people. Let's play.
Yeah, and I don't. And you know what? They're going to be down. We have a couple double A players for a few weeks. What, you know what? With no spring training or anything, some of these guys are acting like double A players anyway. What's the difference? So okay, we have entertainment. I like watching it. And guys are playing and are making some dough. All right, so it's one more little step in the economy towards normalcy. The first team that gets it, oh, God, you're going to shut everything down. No, we're not going to shut anything down. We've already planned for this. Oh, God, you sure you're not going to? You can't get a person to not answer that question from anybody. There's people, everybody. Lou, you could be a sewer worker and be on CNBC. Well, do you think Major League Baseball should shut down? Well, yeah, I think they should, man. This is terrible. Who the hell are you? You're a sewer worker. I mean, or you're a money manager. Who cares what your opinion is? I mean, the fact is, these guys plan for it. They're moving ahead. It makes sense. Just do it. That's just me ranting a little bit.
No, I think that makes, that's the mentality that I think we should be taking now. These populations, with the exception of maybe some of the coaches, these guys don't fall into categories of highly vulnerable people. And in that age group, anyway, of the players I'm talking about, the likelihood of them having some severe consequence as a result of the disease is no greater than the likelihood of them getting a severe consequence from a traffic accident or an airplane crash or a household incident. It really isn't. And so, I mean, it's not like we're dealing with a population that includes a lot of people in rest homes. We're not there. And my reaction is, okay, this is going to happen. If I'm the Marlins, I say, well, this is great because we're probably not going to have to worry about a major infection in the club for a while, given what we've got. And I don't think any of the guys that showed positive have any major symptoms, do they? I mean,
no,
I know there's
no.
At least one player, maybe it was on the Phillies, who got really sick. But okay, so during a normal flu season, you're going to have one or two, couple of guys that get really sick. Are we looking at any other cases? But I haven't heard about them.
Do we think these guys
did not get violently ill or anything like that, and they're able to come back?
Do we think somehow that we have an ego now that if we just stomp our feet up and down against government enough that we can cure the common cold when we haven't been able to do it? I mean, maybe someday we will, but do we have any assessment of where there's we're going to screw this planet up someday to where there are no people left? There's still going to be germs, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, and we don't eventually get to the point where we can deal with viruses, but we're not there yet. We're getting closer. I think what you see, or what we're seeing in Major League Baseball, and maybe what we'll see with the NFL, and certainly with college football, is the anti, how to phrase it, you know, the anti-commerce or the fear margin writ large, which is we have to stop the spread of the disease. We're not going to stop the spread of the disease.
Containment was not an option. In February, Lou, and it's not an option now. And the whole idea that, who the hell was I arguing with on the, I don't think Manny was here. I was one of our guests, and I was saying that don't you understand that Cuomo is the Jimmy Stewart of our era and the man who shot Liberty Valance. He didn't shoot the guy, but as long as that was the big lie, I mean, the whole idea was in some cities it happened so fast that we slammed people home, and they all had it at home before we had any tests, and we never even cared because they were Hispanics and blacks and poor people, right? Well, the idea that you're going to put people in a bubble like we have Major League Baseball players and they come out of the bubble, and guess what? They're going to get it like other people. Why is that so hard to understand? This is not something by putting people away for 3 months in their homes that the virus somehow ended or left. It's not like it got bored and left. It's still there, right? Just the same way that Phoenix had their issues, same way Florida's coming out of theirs now, even though we can never say they're coming out of it, even though the tests are going down. But what is the dynamic? I mean, I think I read, Matt, if you wouldn't mind checking this, I don't want to blob this one out there without being sure. I think yesterday was Wednesday, I think on Tuesday, I heard or read that in the last 2 days they had done 10,000 tests in Major League Baseball. What do? You take a test, you go to the can, you come back, you take it. There's like 400 people. How do you give 10,000 tests?
Well, they're testing, you know, they're testing people multiple times, and they're testing everybody in the vicinity. And apparently they're doing it every day. And I'm just going, if the whatever the test, you know, reliability factor is, you're still not going to catch everybody. And by the time, you know, you might be able to do contact tracing to try to run it all down, but at the end of the day, is this what you want? I mean, I would think that you would want people in a controlled situation like that. You would say, okay, we're not going to try to go crazy here. If you get really sick, we're going to isolate you, and we'll put you on the shelf. But we're not going to try to slow this thing down, because the faster we get to 17% or 20%, whatever that number is, we get closer to having the infection just die out within this population. And I think again, the national narrative has completely gone off the rails in terms of what we should be doing and the way we should be approaching this, the mindset with which we should be approaching.
I got an article yesterday from somebody,
it's being writ large in MLB. So let's say the NFL, you know, cranks up. I don't think if you've got an NFL player who is positive and who somehow misses it, the test misses him, I don't see how in a normal practice setting you're going to avoid, if that guy's a lineman, you're going to avoid infecting everybody else around him. I mean, is the NFL, and I don't see the NFL
You're not going to infect them if they, A, have had it before, B, have the immunity that some people seem to have, right? So no matter what, you're not going to infect more than 20 or 25% of the people, because that appears to be the number that is liable to get it.
Right, but we're not getting that number. I mean, nobody's talking about how this is going to play out with people, and so my point is, these leagues. I mean, the NBA says we're doing it right because we've got all our players locked up in a bubble in Orlando, and I'm going, you know, that's going to last. That's going to last another maybe week or so. Players are already sneaking out. They've already instituted their snitch program to flag this. That's not gonna last. Again, why not let guys, you know, tell guys take normal precautions, we'll test you, but we're not really gonna worry about it if you get the virus, because, you know, we'll just simply sideline you like we would with the flu. And if other people get sick, we'll sideline them. There's no thought about that, and no way of playing that. MLB seems to be going in that direction, but the press, the sports press, is off the rails. And I've actually stopped listening to most of my sports podcasts because the reporters are so dumb on this issue. They are simply parroting what I think they're getting from their buddies in the other, you know, opinion parts of the journalistic establishment. And they're not, there's no real discussion about, okay, let's face facts. This thing is here. We're not going to eradicate it. Should the leagues have ways to deal with this, or should they be saying, look, we're gonna try to just keep everybody from ever getting it ever? Not gonna happen.
Wish it was an option, but it's not.
No, it's not. And so I don't see the NFL, which I think has the biggest problem with this, I don't see the NFL really laying the groundwork for this. I saw, you know, what we've got are players opting out.
Well, I'm going to say hockey's probably got even better, worse problem than NFL. I'm going to say hockey's right there with the NFL, maybe worse.
I think that's likely. But I mean, if I were the NFL, I kind of stand up and say, look, you know, we got lines of people going out the door that want to play in the National Football League. If you know, players get sick, they have to get sidelined. You know what? It will require some adjustment by our coaches, but that's why they get the big bucks. We will plug the next guy in, and that's we're going to expand our rosters, and that's going to be the way it works.
You know why they don't want that, Lou? You know why they don't want that? I'm going to take a reach here and assume something's more organized than it is.
Well, I know the union doesn't want it.
Well, but I'm saying that I think none of the people who work for government. This, I'm going to shift tones here a little bit. This is dropping down with people. I want to talk about this article here for a second, but this is dropping down with people exactly on, I'll say, class lines, right? The same teachers, or people who were university professors, that think they can stay home until, you know, health crisis is over and still get their check, are the same guys that could give a rat's behind about the poor guy who delivers them the Amazon thing, or the guy who delivers them the pizza. I mean, I shudder. How is it that a guy like me and most of the people on this show don't have to realize that somebody's doing something? Some people are going to work. We just don't give a shit about them, and I said that on purpose. We don't care about the bus driver. We don't care about the Amazon delivery. We don't care about the guy showing up with the Chinese chow. I mean, obviously, people are working so we can exist. We don't care about them. We just want to stay home and get paid. Is that what I'm reading here, or what?
I think there's a lot of that to that. Certainly within what you and I would refer to as the elite opinion maker cast. You know, the academics, the journalists, the white collar, you know, employees who can work remotely and you know, basically make that adjustment. I think that's exactly right. I don't think we think about the fact that, notwithstanding this incredible disruption, bread has still been sitting on our shelves every time we go to the supermarket.
Yep.
Milk is still in the dairy, you know, in the dairy case. Every time we go to the store, if we needed anything here in Denver, I could drive down to Target or Costco or you know, Sam's or Walmart and get it. I never. You know, there were some, you know, shortages at some stores for a brief period, but the essentials of life never had a problem.
And they just magically appear, Lou.
It's like the way things used to get done at the Cosby House in terms of being clean and, you know, meals prepared. Like, you never saw Cosby or his wife lift a finger in the service, you know, in doing anything in that household. It was the elves, you know. Yeah. It's the elves that were doing all this.
And the people who can't wait to pull statues down, if you walk into the Target and you said, toilet paper or blue jeans, $100, blue jeans done in slave labor or in China, $50, they're buying the $50 ones. You could care less.
I agree. Well, don't get me started. We can talk about what's happening in Portland and Seattle and in Chicago and Denver, and the incredible anti-American and anti-Western culture bias of a significant portion of that group.
Well, yeah, lady bartender
arguing
with me.
We're talking about the NBA right now, but I think, but my point is just that watching the reaction of the sports press and sports media, mainstream sports media, over the Marlins. I think this may be kind of a microcosm for the media reaction generally, which is, let's freak everybody out. Let's not have any rational thought about this. Let's freak everybody out. It will help with our advertising, and it you know, maybe in some oddball way it damages the reelection chances of the president. I think the unwillingness of the leagues to articulate exactly what they think is going to happen is another huge problem here, and I think the NFL is going to have to deal with it. I don't know how they're going to.
Well, why
other
can't
than, right, other than cutting people?
I had a discussion with my bro yesterday. And of course, you can always argue with your brother, right? No matter what the situation is.
Right.
And he was asking me, what's your solution to this thing if you want everybody to kind of stand down? And I said, yeah, I don't want people to stand down. I want people to be told the truth as it goes. If this thing's becoming a little less virulent, I want people to know that. I don't want people dealing with old information. I don't want them getting half the story. And then I think people should be able to make mostly their own choices. That's what I want. It's not, I mean, I was reading this thing, one of my clients actually shipped me an article from some guy from FSU. Doesn't make him a genius, doesn't mean he doesn't have an agenda. But I read the thing, and you know what, Lou? There's stuff in there that I'm supposed to be, you know, I get all this stuff from everybody, I got guys like you on educating me. There's stuff even I never put together. The guy's saying, you know, the tests in Florida take on average, or maybe they're a little better now, but they take on average 5 days. So when you hear something like, there's 100,000 tests being done today, and there's 10,000 people that test positive, the 10,000 that test positive is from 5 days ago.
Right. It's like
the
it's
tests
like
are current.
At stars through a telescope. You're looking at something that happened a million years ago.
Now, I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but there's people that have given these numbers 100 times a day now for 3 months. Never once does anybody say that. I don't know if it makes that much difference.
We said that.
We did. Well, we did, yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying, I didn't. I guess I could have put two and two together. But now you talk about the Major League Baseball players. I don't know why I didn't have one of these tests yet, but what's the turnaround time on the best test? The one the president was taking was the pinprick test. It was Abbott Labs. And everybody says the thing sucks. It's no good. It gives false positives all over the place. So everybody's bitching at the president for that's the one he was taking. That's the only one I know that is right I'm not a doctor, that you get results right away and everybody says it's no good. All right, so that's not the one you're getting when you go into one of these drive-thrus or whatever. You're getting the one where they stick the thing up your nose, which can't be too pleasant. So if the baseball players, if the test is coming back even every 3 days or 2 days, what good does it do to test somebody every day? You don't even know the results of the last test yet.
Right, and this was the point that I was making early on when people were screaming, we don't have enough tests, we don't have enough tests, we don't have enough tests. It really doesn't matter in those populations. It really doesn't.
Well, the whole idea is, I mean, if you're doing any kind of sampling, those numbers, and of course, as somebody was telling me, they are the numbers, why do you keep bitching about the numbers? They're the numbers, but Lou, they're useless numbers. If you have somebody who's so much of a hypochondriac that the minute he gets his negative test, he hops back in line again because he wants to make sure he didn't do anything wrong the last 4 days, that's not the guy you want to test. If you're trying to figure out what you need some kind of a sample. And everybody knows the people that show up are not the sample. I mean, a third grader knows that. I'm saying, you know, I'd love to find out exactly what's going on. Maybe there is a central clearinghouse that somebody knows something. But why are we constantly getting this misrepresentation? Why doesn't somebody just say on national TV, 100,000 tests today in Florida, and oh, by the way, the results from the 80,000 tests last Sunday are now in, and last Sunday 10,000 people had it. Why is that so difficult to say?
I think two things. I mean, we're seeing kind of a repeat of what happened after 9/11. Which was, we don't really, the government literally taking the position, we don't care whether what we're doing is going to work. We just have to be seen as doing something. So that's one side of this. The other side of this is for the political people, the governors and the health officials that are responsible here, or that are overseeing this, they don't want the image of them being powerless to get out there. And so the idea is that we're in control of this thing, we understand what's going on, et cetera, which means they are going to limit, or they are limiting, the information that comes out, because the true information that comes out is what you and I have been saying from day one. We don't have a cure, we don't have a vaccine, so we're going to try to slow this thing down and let everybody take a deep breath. You know, here are the numbers, here are the relative risks. Here are, if you fall within these groups, we now know this is where your risk is. But if you don't fall into these groups, you don't have the same kind of risk, and we're going to let people start going about their business. Nobody wants to hear that. The press will almost suppress that kind of talk.
Well, right.
And in addition, it makes you look weak. Your political opponents will be able to capitalize on the fact that you said you couldn't do anything about it. And this mentality, I think, permeates our leadership cast.
Well, I don't know if I sent an email out yesterday half in jest, but not so much in jest, having to do with the people now that are coming from Wisconsin. Lori Lightfoot wants them to stand down for 14 days. How a mayor?
Yeah, this is a big thing out here. New Mexico has this 14-day quarantine rule. I'm going, New Mexico? Why?
Well, New York's up to 32 states. You can't come into New York from.
I know it's. But again, this is going back to we're going to do something about this, and I mean it's something we can do. It's an overreach of executive power that we can do, and we're going to because it makes it look like we're doing something and we're not ineffectual.
Well, I think you're. We're going to go break here in a second, but I'm not making excuses for these guys because I'm not their fans at all. But if you were Jay Pritzker, every time you walk to the can or any place, some reporter is going to say, New Mexico's got a quarantine from such and such state, why don't you? That's the constant harassment these people are getting, and that's, you're supposed to have thick skin to be a politician. The constant harassment is, Joe Dum Dum in Walla Walla, Washington, just said you can't enter his city from anywhere. Are you thinking about something like that? Well, no, I'm not. Well, why not? He seems to think it's going to work. No, the name
and
is.
And again, this goes back to why has nobody stood up and given the explanation and done what you just said, which is give us the data you have and let us make up our own minds to the extent that we can. And you know, if you think you need to take steps, take the steps based on the data. Don't take the steps based on what you think is gonna look good for the next political roundup.
Well, you had to protect the hospitals in March. I got that part. I mean, I think we all agree
certainly
on that.
Certainly.
All right, Lou, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. SP futures down 30, came back a little bit. NASDAQ futures down 111. Big movers. We have UPS, of all places, up 12 bucks. Obviously, they're doing well with the stuff being delivered. And we have Qualcomm up $11. So those are earnings last night. We got a whole bunch of earnings today. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Lou Michaels on the phone. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Boy, I just was looking at the... I'll do this first, and then we got to talk about this. S&P futures down 31, NASDAQ futures down 115, Dow futures down 233. Again, the earnings this morning are decent. UPS, we got Qualcomm both up a bunch. We got a whole bunch of earnings tonight and tomorrow with all the big guys. The big guys. In Asia, we got the Nikkei down 57.3%, Shanghai down 7.2%, Hang Seng down 172.7%. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX, ouch, down 360, 2.8%. Volkswagen and Renault shares both dropped 7%, so they're getting some earnings over there as well. FTSE down 111, that's 1.8%. CAC around down 78, 1.6. So that's a big ouch in Europe today. 10-year yield, 0.55. It's as low as we've seen it. One minus 0.54 again, getting down lower. Japan, however, steady at 0.02 positive. Oil down 86 cents, that's 2%, 40.41. Brent down 81 cents, 42.94. It's down about 1.8%. Natural gas down 2 cents. RBOB down 2 cents, 121. We've got gold down $4, still 1949, so still way up there. I think it's gonna make a run of 2000, but who knows? Who knows when? Silver down 87 cents, 23.45. It's a bit 3.5% in silver. Got a big spread on it there, so I'm not so sure that's so good. Copper down 2 cents, 2.89. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We had a crash on the inbound Kennedy just before Division that has apparently just been clear, but some resulting congestion from that accident. O'Hara to downtown is up to 30 minutes. From Montrose, 20 minutes. The express lanes are just 8 minutes. So not a big slowdown, but a little bit of a slowdown as you're heading on the inbound Kennedy due to that earlier crash at Division that has now been cleared. No issues on the outbound side. Eden's looking good, as is the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Out west, on the tri-state, I-294 northbound at Irving Park Road, there's reports of standing water, so folks are having to navigate around that, and that's causing a slowdown on the northbound side of the tri-state at Irving Park. Those are your only issues on the expressways. Off the expressways, one other thing of note, and that's a structure fire at Kedzie and Polk on the west side that has crews on the scene. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, clouds and rain early. More rain later on. We'll reach a high of 77, which is right where we're at right now, pretty much. Right now it's overcast and 76 with rain in the area, going up to a rainy high of 77 today. For our Phoenix listeners, another just absolute scorcher today. Sunshine with a high of 117. You'll feel that when you step outside. Right now it is clear and 87 going up to a high of 117. In sports, White Sox snapped their three-game skid. They shut out Cleveland last night, 4-0. Sox broke a 0-0 tie in the top of the ninth inning, scratching across four, led by a Luis Robert, a pair of RBIs, and shut down Cleveland. Lucas Giolito with 6 innings of shutout ball, bullpen 3 innings of shutout ball. Sox are now 2-4. Cubs had their three-game winning streak snapped. They lost in Cincinnati 12-7. Kyle Hendricks didn't have it, going 4 1/3, allowing 6 earned runs. The bullpen was not much better, allowing 5 more earned runs in 4 2/3 as the Cubs dropped 4-2 on the year, losing 12-7. David Bodie homered in the loss. And the Diamondbacks lost to Texas 7-4. One last note, Chief. Lou Henson, legendary Basketball coach, passed away at age 88. He's the all-time winningest coach in Illinois history. He's also the all-time winningest coach at New Mexico State, where he was before and after Illinois. Led New Mexico State to a Final Four, led Illinois to a Final Four, completely turned Illinois' basketball program around, and 12 NCAA tournaments with the Illini before that Final Four in 1989. Lou Henson passed away. Chief.
One quick sports note is, in the immortal words of Matt Weber's hero, Rahm Emanuel, you never waste a good crisis, right, Manny?
Absolutely.
I'm sure he wasn't the first with that, but, Lou and Maddie, since you guys are my sports mavens, I'm going to say that the four big football conferences that are dying to just have their champion play in the four in the playoffs at the end of the year have made a major step forward this year by using this as a way to cancel all non-conference games, because now even the Irish.
Interesting.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right.
Because why can't the Irish play Wisconsin when they can play Duke? What's the difference?
Well, it'll be a better football game if they play Wisconsin.
Well, I get that part, but I'm saying now all of a sudden, I mean, now the ACC is saying to Notre Dame, well, we'll basically save your ass this year because Southern Cal and Wisconsin, all these other people bailed on you. But by the way, you now got to be in for football too. And you know what? There'll be no independent teams left. And that's, you know, I don't know. I was listening to the people in Congress yesterday talking about the antitrust stuff, and do those people even know what antitrust is, Lou? I mean, they need to go take a class like I took in college or something. But they have no idea what they're talking about. The representatives and the senators.
Well, that's big. I mean, you saw the same thing play out with the John Barr hearing the day before, which was just a circus, and it's an opportunity. I've testified in front of Congress, it seems like these are just simply opportunities for soundbite, you know, campaign stuff. There's not a whole lot of shaking going on. There's very little information exchange. There's very little information gathering, data collection. It's simply an opportunity. It's like where they got the Hollywood people to come in and testify. It's simply an opportunity to grandstand with these guys and really very little discussion along the lines of what I think is traditional antitrust. I mean, you saw the Democrats trying to take up their Robin Hood stance, and you saw the Republicans try to take up their deep state conspiracy stance.
Yeah.
And that really was dominating it. There was nobody sitting there saying, look, how do we integrate you guys, given the Supreme Court's kind of libertarian stance on this over the last 50 years, how do we integrate you guys into an economy, an information economy, where you are controlling the flow, or 90% of it, where there really is no viable alternative, where the services you're providing are essentially free to the consumer, and they're not paying anything for it. So how do we, what are we protecting the consumer from, and how do we, if we can identify that, how do we do that? There's none of that.
Well, a consumer, in a lot of times in antitrust, it's very difficult to say. By the way, before I say that, do you have any idea what the GDP estimate is for today for the second quarter?
The gross domestic product estimate? I have no idea.
Down 34.6%. I was going to guess 15 or 20, 34.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, now that I'm looking at it, I guess it doesn't surprise me. I just would not have, my first guess would not have been that high. That's, I think somewhere we'll, you know, the interesting part is as much as we're skipping around here, the, my theme of the show from day one has been everything is really the same subject. You know what? This is all the same subject. When are we going to get, instead of Jay Pritzker saying, well, I still in the back of my mind might shut restaurants and bars this fall again. How do you even say that to a guy who just opened up again? Is he preparing already to lay his people off 5 weeks from now? Is he making sure he has no beer supply? Why would you need? But I talked to somebody at a restaurant who said
they've been. I'm hoping, you know, and this is going to be a mess because a lot of the restrictions on moratoriums on evictions and bill, utility bill collection and things like that are ending at the end of July. And we're going to see the real, you know, the real pain of this lockdown start, I think, in August. And I'm hoping that, you know, again, this requires, this would be nice if we had some presidential leadership on this where he, you know, he stands up and says, well, the president stands up and says, look, we're going to have to deal with this. This is going to be painful. We have to come up with some solutions. But I think the real cost of a lockdown, which you know he's been pushing against, are going to start playing out here in the next month, and it's going to be really ugly.
Well, Lou, I think a lot of this, you have, and again, I mean, and Maddie disagrees with me on this, but you have a Jay Pritzker, you have, and there's Republican governors too. It's not all just Democrat or Republican. I'm not trying to play that game. On the one hand, they're saying we're not opening this up. We're doing this. Knowing full well they're flat-ass broke, Lou. It's like me pontificating about I need to go out and buy five new cars. You got any money? Well, no. Well, how the hell are you going to do it? Okay, so they're pontificating on a political end, and you flash forward to Washington, and this is what I talk about all the time. Now you've got the same person, the governors, saying we're going to increase this, we're going to do that, we're going to pay teachers to stay home, we're going to pay people at University of Illinois to stay home. With what? With what exactly? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get a loan from the federal government. Okay, now that's interesting. And now who exactly is supposed to pay for that? Someday the people in Illinois are going to have higher taxes than the federal. Whatever it is, Lou, someplace, somewhere, somebody's got to stand up and grow a pair, whether it's Trump or whether Powell. Powell says, I got the balance sheet to $7 trillion. I'm going to go with you guys for one more month. I'm going to make it $8 and that's it. Any more money you want to spend, you better go out and borrow it because I'm not printing it because when I do, I'm going to cause a bigger problem than we've had so far. Somebody has to say that, whether it's Trump, Powell, whether it's Mnuchin. Somebody's going to say, we're going to give you guys 300 hours more a week. But if you want to think you're going to go two more years of paying teachers when kids are at home, you're not doing it on us, you're doing it on yourself. Somebody somewhere has to make that call. Now, how you do that in the middle of an election year, I don't know. I've never run for office like that. But, Lou, we're very close to that having to be said.
I agree. And I think I think that this is another one of your comments about people, you know, speaking truth, you know, to power, from power, whatever. But having somebody articulate to the public, and again, I go back to my whiteboard analogy last week. I mean, this is where the president with a whiteboard or somebody in his campaign or in his office with a whiteboard says, look, here's what the numbers look like. Here's where we're running the deficit. Here's how we dealt with these other problems by printing money. Here's what happens if we continue to do it and what we think will happen if we continue to do it. And so, you know, we're making a call, and we're making a call based on this. And you know, maybe it's not the best choice in the world, but it's the best of the worst choices that we have to make. I would love to see somebody do that. You remember, I assume, Ross Perot back in the 1992 election.
Yeah.
where he did effectively that. And it was really the first time I think I'd heard anybody talk bluntly about deficit spending and what it meant and what it was going to look like in the future. And I thought there was an amazingly effective device, because for the first time I felt like I had a candidate who was treating people like adults and saying, look, here's the information you need to know to vote.
You do know, of course, that he already had his escape route.
Oh, yeah.
He ended
yeah,
up,
no,
I,
no.
I had a client, I'm sure he's long since croaked, but he was pissed off at Clinton. He didn't want to like the U.S. anymore. Really screwed up, Lou. I mean, very conservative, nice guy from a real conservative, real bright, owned, you know, buku stuff. He had almost as many places as Keating before the real estate crash. When was that? 1990 or something? When
yeah.
was that one? When was Resolution Trust? 90? I don't probably forget.
89, 90.
If anyway, he got rid of most of his places and got out unscathed. Not unscathed, but, you know, wounded, but okay. So he decides he's gonna dump his U.S. citizenship. So what you do is you essentially walk into the embassy and you hand them your income tax, you hand them your last check for your income tax, you want to pay it, and say, I'm out of here. And you forfeit your citizenship. And you get to spend 90 days a year back in the U.S. since you were former. I mean, he gave me the whole routine. He ends up becoming a citizen of the Isle of Man with residency in Bermuda, because you can't become a citizen. What's Bermuda? British? I think. I'm not sure. But you gotta,
it used to be British. I don't think it is anymore.
Well, whatever it is. I mean, you can't become a citizen there. So he got his... And this took like a year. So he ends up being a resident there. And, of course, you have to do everything new again. Your driver's license doesn't work. You got to go get your driver's test over there. The guy, I'm trying to find him. He's got this huge position in silver and stuff. It's going against him. It cost the guy $250,000 while he was taking his driver's test, which is an eight-hour ordeal in Bermuda. The island's what is long as Chicago, right? And it's a whole-day deal to take your driver's test. He loses like $250,000 in silver because I couldn't find him to say, hey, this thing's going down and we could have done something, or up, whatever the hell he had. And he says the houses around him was Ross Perot and his two sons that already got there ahead of him. They already had residency in Bermuda.
Yeah.
Who's the guy we had on The Wrestler, man? He's got a residency there too, right? What's his name?
John Layfield.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen his wife on TV in ages. What's her name? She'd have made the big call on something that didn't happen. She said the market was going down and it didn't or something. I don't know what her story was, but...
Meredith Whitney.
Meredith Whitney, yeah. I haven't seen her from her in ages. Anyway, Lou, we worked through the sports. Now we're talking about the governor came out with four stages, four different sports, and how close you are to people and blah, 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 and how many days a week you can do this and that. How many people do we have in the governor's office telling people how they can play football or basketball? Do we have anybody that has that kind of... I don't want to pay anybody in the governor's office to do that.
It's ridiculous. And again, this is the fallout, like I said, after 9/11, this is the fallout of this overwhelming urge to be seen as doing something to show that you are in control and that this isn't, you know, you're a strong leader capable of managing these kinds of crisis situations. And rather than doing what I would want someone to do, which is to give a straightforward explanation of, we are going to protect our nursing homes, we're going to protect the most vulnerable, but we are not going to allow the economy to shut down. Those of you who don't want to take the risk, you know, wear your face masks, do your thing, wash your hands, do all the stuff we need you to do to slow the spread, but we're not going to shut the economy down. We're going to be closer to Sweden than we are to New York City.
Well, I get this, I don't know if you heard, but I don't know, somebody sigged this coronavirus thing. I mean, I get this stuff, like not hourly, but it's all big time, you know, doctors in there talking about various spots of the, I did find out one thing, Lou, that when you attack a virus, it's RNA, it's not DNA, right? So, but still, you're looking for proteins in there that might be susceptible to some kind of a vaccine. So you look for ones that are vulnerable, but then the next thing you do, and I guess this makes sense, I never thought about it, you have to have an incredible knowledge, I mean, people didn't in the old days, that's why they had issues with this, of the DNA that humans have. Because you can't pick out a protein sequence that's similar to one in our DNA. Or it'll kill the virus, and you'll kill us. I'm sitting there reading this. Of course, it makes perfect sense, but I just never thought of that, right? You got to make sure that the part of this thing you're killing isn't close to what we have. Which
This is why the vaccine tests, I think a vaccine within a year is crazy.
Well, we're not going to get a vaccine. We're going to get a flu shot. All these places that are doing this stuff are essentially making antibodies, which is what a flu shot is. So they're going to give you some antibodies so your body's ready for it when you get it. And you don't get it, either don't get it at all or you get it less than the other, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but it's not a polio vaccine or measles vaccine where you're good to go for 60 years. It's good for a while.
Correct. But even then, it's extremely tricky. It's a very complicated process, and it's very hit or miss. I mean, it's a trial and error kind of thing, because I guarantee you, the variety of ways in which this virus attacks people, you know, a vaccine is going to do the same thing or has the potential
to
have the same kind of adverse reaction across a wide population. So you're going to see these highly idiosyncratic responses to the vaccine, and every one of them will be more clickbait for some politician or news outlet.
I dug out an article, Lou. The guy who was putting together the swine flu vaccine in 1972, and in his article he wrote, "I know damn well that if I give this to somebody on a Tuesday, they're going to have a heart attack on a Wednesday, and they're going to blame me. Even if the guy's 500 pounds and is hit and it's his fifth heart attack, it's going to be my fault."
Sure.
I mean, nothing's changed, right?
I mean, that's one of the things you and I have talked about this too. That's one of the things about why these COVID hospitalizations and death numbers are so suspect, because you've got different states having different policies on reporting. And so in some places, if you come in and you're dead or you're very sick and you have COVID antibodies, they're gonna call it a COVID death.
Oh, sure.
A COVID hospitalization.
What was the guy in Florida died of the motorcycle crash and he had?
Right.
So Lou, how do we, in a political era with the tweet storms going, how do you ever get down to what has to happen? I mean, once in a while I wake up and I go, what has to happen to change this? My solution would be, and of course I'm lobbing this out there because everybody's gonna laugh at me. My solution would be, if I was was president or governor, I don't want to be a governor, but if I was in the Oval Office, I often wonder if the solution wouldn't be to go back a century and every 2 weeks or whatever to actually write a 300-word piece, and if some newspaper wanted to pick it up or not pick it up, and where I just say, would pick a topic and say, here's where I am, this is what I'm doing. Would not tweet it out, not have a 10-word thing or a 20-word thing. Actually pick, here's what we're doing in Veterans Affairs. Here's what we're doing about this virus. Here's what we're doing about inflation. Here's the people coordinated. This is what we're doing and why. And just put it out there where at least, if you can disagree with me, but at least you know where I'm coming from, and I'm explaining to you where I am exactly. And if you don't like it, that's fine too.
The executive agencies do that already. You know, VA puts out a press release. All of the DOD puts out a press release. HHS puts out press release. That happens all the time. I will tell you. You want to get a more optimistic press and stop the negatives. Elect a black Democratic president, because Barack Obama was, you know, they talk about Reagan being Teflon. Barack Obama was Teflon. And continues to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
And so the press love the guy, and that unfortunately controls a significant amount of the perception that you're just talking about.
Well, I mean, he didn't spend his first 4 months in office telling the press what a bunch of idiots they were. I mean,
well, he didn't spend, but he never had the kind of press antipathy. I mean, the New York Times did not publish an editorial saying, "It's now our job as the press to stop the election of Barack Obama."
No, No.
That happened. And I don't blame, and I mean, honestly, given the president's irascibility on some of this stuff, I'm amazed we haven't had more of an outburst following the revelations of, you know, what was going on with the FBI and within the Obama administration prior to him taking office.
I think the Obama administration was totally crooked. And the thing that frosts me the most, Lou, is that, you know, I'm a peacenik. The idea that after winning the Peace Prize, the guy killed how many people in drone strikes, and nobody even publishes the number.
He killed American citizens.
Yeah.
In drone strikes.
Yeah, and I mean, it never. Nobody should be that Teflon.
But he was.
Yeah.
There was no accountability on him for the massive failure of Obamacare, and the absolute incompetence in the rollout of that program. There was no accountability for him with that ridiculous Iran deal and all the machinations that went up to
it. We got like 1 minute, Lou. What do you make of this? Have you been watching this Kodak stock?
No.
It was from $2 on last Friday or something, or last week someplace. It's trading this morning at 42. They got one of these contracts to produce the COVID virus antibodies or vaccines, whatever you want to call them. They're handing out these contracts right and left to people to produce like hundreds of millions of doses of vaccines that aren't even made yet. And the government's going to foot this bill with probably five or six different companies. For God's sake, how do you get on that list?
Well, somebody knows somebody who tipped off somebody else, hey, you guys should start working this. I have less concern about the government throwing money at private businesses on something like this, where they say, we're going to need your expertise and your distribution
right.
network because you're better than we are.
But Lou, we're producing stuff that we're going to throw away.
We're going to make use of that.
I don't disagree totally. I just think whoever running it better have their head screwed on straight, and I don't have any confidence of that. Lou, thank you very much, buddy. S&P Futures down 25, Nasdaq Futures 94. Have you back next week, Lou. Come back, Mr. Dan Janatis.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. Dan Janitas with us on the phone. SP Futures down 26. NASDAQ Futures down 96. Dan, how are you on this fine Thursday morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. It rained on us a little coming in, but we survived. You know, we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little
absolutely.
Bit. Hey, I'm going to ask you.
We're getting a little bit of a hurricane coming in.
Is there such a thing as a little bit of a hurricane?
Yeah, we could be, yeah.
Is that the same as, like, a little bit pregnant, you know?
Well, not exactly, yeah. It's still, the course of the storm is still uncertain, but it's definitely going to hit. We're going to get hit, Florida. It's just a matter of where, when, and how much.
What category are we talking in this puppy?
Well, they're talking about tropical depression right now,
okay.
But, you know, building to, like, a category one. But it's, I think, a little soon. Most likely Saturday. But there's already hurricane talk in the air here, so.
Oh, good. So whenever it goes out to, and you buy the water and the batteries and all the stuff, what if it doesn't hit you? What do you do with all the water and the batteries?
Save them for the next one.
Okay.
That happened last year with Dorian. Dorian was Labor Day weekend, and it was the first, and generally the first, which is like, this would really be the first that it's going to have a direct hit here in Florida. So the first one, everyone is loading up, and then by the second or third time, you know that the chances of it hitting aren't really that high or hitting you directly. So the worst part of the storm is not when the storm actually hits. It's what happens afterwards if you lose electricity, you know, if you lose power and you don't have air conditioning and that type of thing. Stores are closed. So, but, yeah, you have a supply. Usually you keep the supply year-round, but you just load up and you keep it.
I'm confessing here, Dan. I looked at the economic calendar. I was wanting to see what, you know, the consumer and all its spending and income that what they were forecasting. I must be living in a bubble, and not I would have guessed the GDP number was going to be down like 18, 20, 22%. They're talking almost 35. Is that a surprise to you, or am I the only dummy here?
I think it's it doesn't surprise me for the short run. It does seem high, but for the short run it doesn't surprise me. We've had a major hit, we've had a major shutdown, and those numbers are just starting to hit now, and we're seeing the same thing with it. This has been a busy earnings season, and we're seeing the same thing, although I think the estimates that a lot of analysts have come out with have been relatively in line, but they've certainly been considerably lower than what we had seen in prior quarters. So the short term does actually, I agree with you, it does seem a little high on the short term, but I'm not surprised.
Well, this is with a shovel and 600 hours a week to people. If we cut that back, what's the number going to be, 50?
Right, exactly. I think there is a push for people to get back. I'm not sure how quickly that's going to happen. There's the people who have been working from home. I think there's sort of two camps here. The people who have been working from home that haven't really, like me, who haven't really seen any slowdown. If anything, we've seen a pick up in business activity. You know, and then there's the other camp, which is the people who are going to work in fields like restaurants and small businesses that are still very uncertain about what's happening, and schools.
Well, we've been coming in every day. Of course, we're the only people in the building, so it's like we're we're in a bubble at home. We just happen to be at work, yeah. Right? So,
right.
There's a couple of days, Dan, especially after the riots, we were the only five people in the building.
Wow.
For like a week. And we had to come in the back door to freight elevator. I mean, the rest was boarded up. It's been really ugly. I mean, uglier than anybody might think. And it's not really getting much better here in Chicago, but which is clouding my views a little bit. Hey, last week I want to pick up, you were mentioning that you had obviously everybody knows that Dan's group does a lot of fixed income stuff, and that's why I have mine here, because he seems to be a freaking genius about it, and articulate about it. But in one of the groups that I do, I subcontract my Protected Index program to a couple of places, and that group also has a big dividend kind of portfolio for people. That's one thing you can pick if you want, which is, it's not fixed income, but it's, kind of the same thing. You're looking for income. Although dividend things are not fixed, your stuff is actually fixed. It got to the point we were doing so well in there. The person managing it, and I kind of helped her out a little bit. But you know what? We can't find a stock that's worth the risk for the dividend. There's sort of nothing there, Dan. I mean, and last week you mentioned, and of course I didn't do it like a goofball for any of my clients, but you were mentioning that you had Southwest Energy, that you had spotted, a bond you thought was pretty darn good. It was out 2 years, 3 years, whatever, I'm remembering our conversation, and it was like 6%, and I thought last week you'd said, well, the thing's back down to like 4.5 or 4.8, so it's not as good of a... My question to you is, if this keeps going on like this, what are the chances of you saying, I'm going to get 3% for this from this company, but even though I think they're pretty good, 3% is just not enough. I mean, I guess my question is, what would you do if you were in Germany right now? I mean,
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Actually,
today is a good example of that, where rates have come down. It really, the news from the Fed was not surprising, and it was just, steady course. But if you looked at Treasury rates today, they just keep trending down,
yep.
Treasury rates recently. So you're exactly right. We're in a quest for yield mode, and where do you get that yield? And you have to look a little harder to get that, because yields on dividend stocks and on bonds have come in tremendously. There is still some value. There's absolutely some value, and there are definitely some places where you can find that. We had talked earlier a few weeks ago about a company called Neighbors, and they actually had their call yesterday, and they have a preferred, that mandatory preferred that pays 6%, and it will mature in May of 2021. They have a bond that they basically told us on the call yesterday that matures. It's our single largest position that matures September 15th, and right now you can get it for 5%. So if you want to lock in 5% for a couple of months, if you can buy them, Neighbors bonds, they're money good. They're as money good as you can get. So there are stories, and I think because that's my market, I have access to these names. There is a fund that I run for Interactive Advisors, and it's a strategy that predominantly uses ETFs, but we can buy preferred stocks as well. And it's the Kratos Capital High Income Strategy, and it's available through the Interactive Advisors or Interactive Brokers platform. And that fund, if you look under funds and then you look under income funds, we've had the best performance for the last year. We compete with dividend funds.
Okay,
but we not only use dividend stocks, that's a small part of it, but we use short-term corporate bonds, high-yield bonds, and they're mostly done through, the purchases are done through ETFs. And I have noticed over the past, well, we've noticed this over the past several years, but actually over the past several weeks, that it's been harder and harder to find those good yields in those names.
Yeah,
we have another name that's a preferred stock, Blue Knight. It's an interesting story. You're getting a pretty terrific yield on that right now. We were looking at another company yesterday that has a preferred stock that's paying 12%. It's a cumulative preferred. It's not mandatory. So if you do a little homework, you can find them.
I think you're doing.
But it is becoming harder and harder to get yield.
I think you're doing a lot of work.
A quest for yield. So I absolutely agree.
I think you're doing a lot of work, and I sense you're coming up. I think you're coming up with some pearls, but every one you come up with is 20 hours work instead of 10 where they were 6 weeks ago.
Yes. No. You're absolutely right. It's no question about it. It's you know I'm. Other than that income strategy, I do have clients. You know, we have clients that look for income as a priority, and it has been tougher to find. No question about it. And it doesn't help when interest rates are continuing to track down. Could become a problem for us if this trend continues. If we were to get into negative rates, would not be a good thing for us.
What's interesting, we clear two places at PTI. We clear IB, and we also clear RBC. And depending on what the person wants to do and what kind of trading they want to do, they go either place. We try and get them to the right place. But recently, we're starting to have a couple of very big money clients go into IB, which normally our big guys would go into RBC, but now they're going to IB. And a couple of them are looking for a big fixed income piece. Would I be able to access through IB your stuff?
Oh, absolutely, right. It would be under portfolios that are managed by by professional advisors, and you go through Interactive Advisors.
Okay.
And you don't even have to log into the system, and it'll have a list of portfolios, and then you click on income. It gives you different strategies, growth, income, and other strategies, and then you just click on income, and you'll see it'll be the first one that'll pop up.
Okay. Well, if these guys do what they say and plunk the kind of cash they're talking about, we'll talk. But I have just a generic question. Do you want to be compared to Michael Milken or not?
Well, I know Michael Milken. I was involved in high yield at the time. So I guess professionally a little bit, since that's our field.
I hope you don't have the toupe that when you go to jail, they take the toupe off and you can't even recognize. But when he started, I'm going to give a very brief, and this is the question I'm sort of trying to ask you, and by the way, everything you say means you have a lot of common sense on this, but when Michael Milken introduced the not quite investment-grade bond, read junk bond, the idea was there's a lot of companies that need financing, and they don't really like getting raped by Solomon Brothers or by a big bank, which was their only real alternatives at the time, correct? So he came out and said, look, we can put these bonds together. They're not investment-grade, but I'm not going to try and sell you one bond. I'm going to put together a group of 20. And we're going to pay, you know more about this than me. We're going to pay 11%. Everybody else is paying 6 or 7. And by the way, if one or two of these guys go out of the 20, we're still ahead of the game. And in fact, I think his track record was that way less than one or two of the 20 went out. And you actually did very well there. But my question to you is, if you take that whole, but now the rate was 11%. So if you lost one, the 11% that you're getting kind of covered it, or two or three. But now, if the junk bond, I use that term, is paying 5% because the risk-free rate is zero, basically, you can't afford really to lose anybody at that number. And by the way, look what's happened to the economy. We got governments and governors and mayors putting people out of business on purpose. I don't know how you're seeing what you're focusing in on now is good companies that are kind of being lost in your finding. With the general Milken strategy, I don't know that you can do that anymore. I don't think you can find 20 companies that are paying 7 or 8% that you can say in 10 years, 18 of them are going to be here. Do you?
I would agree with you. I think that, and I think your numbers were right on target. The 7 or 8 is really more into like 5 to 5.5 right now. So it's come down considerably. The thing about the high yield market is it's very different than if you look at the composition by industry. It's quite different than the S&P. So where energy names in the S&P may only represent 3, 4, 5% of that index, the high yield index, they're going to represent closer to 50%. So it's an index that's really focused on certain industries. Certain industries have fallen into that high yield, below investment grade. Energy is one. Retail is another. So the pending bankruptcies and the current bankruptcies we're seeing have predominantly been in those industries. You see a lot of retail names coming out. You see energy names. We're going to see more energy names coming out. So to look at those names, you absolutely have to differentiate and do your homework. But we have noticed, as you've noticed, it's a lot harder to get that yield. So we're looking for alternatives, which might be preferred stocks or relatively stable small companies that pay some dividend. So, and we're actually going to our clients that have predominantly had the strategy of strictly high yield or strictly fixed income with high yield being a component of it and said, hey, we've got some great names in small cap space that we think they're value companies. They have a lot of upside potential. They pay a dividend. So we're actually kind of doing a shift into at least a portion of their portfolio that I view as having more upside potential and taking away that risk that you're talking about when you're talking about the, you know, 11% and the 20 names. The default rate has been extremely low, and it's only until now in the last few months that's picked up. More than 20 years ago, I ran a distressed hedge fund, and I was running it in the late 90s when there weren't many choices. So this environment that we're coming into is going to give us more choices in the distressed space. But back then, 20 years ago, we were really reaching for yield and looking for opportunities, and there weren't as many opportunities in the distressed space. As we get more into this environment, there's going to be opportunities in distressed, and that's another area of expertise, if you will, and so we would have a small component for certain clients in the distressed space. And to go back to your analogy, that might involve a little more than 10 hours of work, because those names... But the rewards are actually tremendous. So if you're willing to be patient, you can make a lot of money in the distressed or semi-distressed names.
I have to ask this question because of you, because I want to ask it to myself, but it's easier to ask it to you. You and I have been around doing this a long time, and a lot of our feel for risk and so forth is because of the 30, 40 years we've been hanging around the industry, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be perfectly honest. I have no idea. I mean, I think I can make as good a stab as anybody. I don't know what 2/4 of minus 35% GDP does to my instincts. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, how do I take a stock that's when I think they're too high now anyway because of the money they're poured in? How do I even remotely say this one's safe, or you to say these guys are safe? I mean, if we're down, you know, 50% by 4th quarter, I don't know what the world's going to look like. I mean, I have to go back and go on YouTube and see pictures of the depression, right? How do you and I judge?
I totally understand, and I know where you're coming from. I think, again, going back to how you started out, our experience is what helps us. And knowing certain, in our case, you know, where we get down to the management level and knowing management teams that have weathered tough times, you feel a lot more comfortable with a company like AK Steel that's been around forever and ever, that is in an industry that has come under pressure, especially when cyclicals come under pressure, and we're seeing that again now. AK Steel bought a lot of their bonds back just prior to this happening, including the bonds that we owned. This other company I mentioned, Neighbors, they're very focused on free cash flow. They're very focused on paying down debt. They are another survivor. They went through a tough period in 15-16 when the energy sector, nobody else was paying attention, but the energy sector was under pressure. So being able to go back in history and say, these are companies that knew what to do when things were trading down, I would be a lot more concerned about companies that were newer in newer industries that are going to be impacted by this. And whether it be some tech names or that have run too far and now we're dealing with some regulatory issues, or whether it be just small companies that haven't really been in the markets long enough to have proven themselves. So sometimes we call them the steady eddies, are the ones to hold on to, the ones to that'll weather the storm. And you know, that just again involves a little bit of homework and involves certainly a little bit of experience.
Well, but it's hard to, you don't even want to even imagine. I talk about a wacky story back when the crash of 2000, right? Of course, I'm in New York with my buddy Dr. J, And Jan's always a riot to be anywhere with. I mean, we've been friends forever, but he's fun to be with. But, of course, he's going to be Dr. J. So he goes, hey, by the way, what are you doing tomorrow at, like, 6? Well, Jan, I'm with you. What are we doing tomorrow about 6? Well, you know, I'm double booked. How about going to give this lecture over Brooklyn at 6 a.m.? And I go, all right, I got nothing to do. I mean, what would I normally have to do at 6 in the morning? Like, nothing. Well, yeah, I'll hop the subway at 5:30, where I've never been. I hustle over. And it was supposed to be on repair strategies. And, of course, the market had just totally tanked. And 90% of the room had owned Cisco stock and never sold a share of it. So the stock went up to, like, 60-something, and it's trading 6. Right? And they go, oh, you're supposed to teach it. I said, I'm not so sure I have a repair strategy for, like, this one. But you know what? I don't think the people that can't wait to look at this Amazon, they can't wait to look at Tesla. And believe me, I'm not saying anybody should short any stuff or whatever. If these numbers go 2 quarters in a row, we're talking about companies don't make any money. I mean, it is not beyond the realm to me, where Amazon's trading 3,000 this morning, for one of these days the stock to be 300. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, I never want to see it again. But I mean, it's not like, and I don't know how we barely weathered that storm last time in 2000. I sure want to go through it again, Dan. I mean, is there any chance we won't? I mean, we can turn this bus around? I mean, what would you do? What would your business be like in Europe with minus 50 point? You couldn't put anybody in a bind for no money. What would you do that for?
Yeah, I think this is, like I said, where you have to be somewhat creative, and, you know, you can look at preferred stocks as an alternative, or as I mentioned, I'm actually talking to clients now that have, you know, a large number of, they want the majority of their portfolio in fixed income, and saying, hey, you know, we're able to add alpha over here in an area of my expertise. And they're all willing to take a portion of the portfolio and move it into an area where there may be more upside. Going back to your story, you know, about Cisco, yeah, it is possible that an Amazon can have that and that experience. I mean, if they have to start paying taxes, that would be an issue. If we have a new administration, and then, the other things that could also be issues are less demand. I mean, I think they're a terrific organization in terms of what they do, but if you're looking at the company from an investment on, you know, from a stock, an equity investment, you have to be concerned about a slowdown that's going to impact the consumer. And there's no type of restructuring you can do in the organization that isn't going to be, they're going to have an impact. There's absolutely no question. So, we have avoided those names in this environment. We may be looking, we are looking at names in the industry that may have a specific niche that could potentially perform very well in this downturn. We had mentioned before Lincoln Educational that offers on-campus training for auto mechanics and LPNs and medical assistants and HVAC technicians, and those are businesses that tend to do well in recessions, and also education, you know, gives an opportunity for people to go back to school. So I think your focus has to be away from the high flyers and, you know, kind of shifting, and that's not our focus anyways, but I think the shift has to be away from, I don't want to call it greed, but it's sort of like leaning towards the greed end of the spectrum and come a little more towards the middle to find those names and those companies that are going to get you through the difficult times and maybe offer products or services that are going to benefit during the times ahead.
Dan, are you, we're kind of bucking up against time here, but we've had some people, and I'm asking you as an investment side, we've had some people, you know, that we were not part of it or anything, but we had clients at PTI that in the last 5 to 7 or 8 years, anybody who hasn't had a small business, you might have had a, it might have been Dan's Plumbing for the last 40 years, or it was Dan's dad's plumbing 40 years before that, and you always had a line of credit at a bank, and you always had a corporation, you never weaseled on a payment ever, and then all of a sudden these guys want personal guarantees. I mean, it made it very difficult for people to be, and we had some clients that, you know, took money out of here and formed firms that were charging an extra percent than a bank just so people didn't have to put up the house, because you go home and you tell the wife, I had to put up the house for the plumbing company, and they're like, why do we have to do that all of a sudden? When after 40 years of not having to. Have you guys come across any of those kinds of companies that might be a good investment? That are essentially
The company itself, that, you know, the companies that themselves that we've come across would not necessarily be specific like ones that you're talking about, but we are coming across bonds of companies.
Okay.
Where you're getting better protection, where you're getting, for example, guaranteed notes. So more of those have been issued, and then guaranteed notes have been issued for energy companies that will be senior in the capital structure to all their other debt. So if you want to be involved in a particular energy name and they have guaranteed notes, even if they don't pay as much, say you give up that 1% or 3%, okay, but you're still getting 5%, you're going to be way ahead of the others if there is a downturn or restructuring. So,
so you guys are not, so you're in the, I guess, put another way, the banking system is not functioning as a banking system. A lot of people have had to exit the banking system, and I figured if anybody would be all over that, it would be you guys.
I mean, no, and absolutely, and we have been. We absolutely have been. One quick name, if I have a second.
Yep.
MasTec, going back to my hurricane talk at the beginning of the conversation, MTZ. They do maintenance on cell phone towers and on pipelines. They also they started out by doing their infrastructure play, rebuilding areas after hurricanes. Really well managed company. It's I think now the number two. They used to be the number one Latino managed company. Just great management team, based here in South Florida. MTZ. That's another good weather the storm literally and figuratively.
We need a. We should get a hurricane index where if you buy that, you get all the batteries, water, duct tape, everything you need.
Yes, absolutely.
Plywood,
a
few nails, a couple of hammers. Dan, thank you very much. Next week, let's dig into some of that alternative stuff because I mean I'm very fascinated by that, and you sound like you know something
absolutely
about it. By the way, good information this week. Thank you. SP futures down 25, NASDAQ futures down 89. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call, 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. 32.9 dip in the GDP. I guess it's better than the 34.7 we're talking about, but not much. That's awful. I mean, I'm surprised. I would have thought 25, but I'd have been wrong. Dow down 226. NASDAQ futures down 102. S&P futures down 27. I got pretty much every stock in the Dow. Procter & Gamble's up. They had good earnings, up 4% on the revenue, given all the spending people are doing at home. They're trading up $1.98. The only other stock in the Dow that's up is Johnson & Johnson's up 256. Everything else is down. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 57.2%, Shanghai down 7.2%, Hang Seng down 172.7%. So not much going on there. Europe, another story. DAX down 312. That's over 2.4%, 2.44. FTSE down 101, that's 1.7%. CAC around down 64, 1.3. Big hit in Volkswagen and Renault. Hey, did you ever drive in Renault? I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever rode a Renault.
No, I did have a Volkswagen for a while.
A Bug?
A Passat.
All right.
Yeah, about, 12 years ago maybe.
Dr. J had this buddy that had a Rabid Diesel back in like the 80s. That sucker got like 50 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, they were great cars for gas mileage, that's for sure. There was other things that I didn't love about it, such as, I mean, it took about an hour and a half to get up to 60 miles per hour.
Well, but also they claimed for the car to be legal today, with all the different, you know, crash tests and all the other stuff, you'd have to add 1,000 pounds to the thing, or 1,200
pounds.
Oh, wow. It's unbelievable. I mean, you could basically pick the thing up. You and I could pick the rear end up and move it if we wanted to.
Crazy.
Oh, God. Bonds, just like Dan was saying, are down to 0.55. That's a big move. It's almost a 3-basis-point move. Bund, minus 0.54. It's been in the high 4s, so that's another big move there. It's a 4-basis-point move there today. So in Japan, however, still hanging above 0 at 0.02, so they're not... They seem sort of impervious to what's going on here, at least today. Oil down 70 cents. Everything's down. 40.57. Brent down 56. 43.19. Natural gas down 2 cents. RBOB gas down 1 cent. Gold, whack, 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 whack. Here, too, down 670. Silver down 86 cents. And a copper down 2 cents. So it's very interesting. We can't... There's nobody with their hand up today, Matty. Well, UPS had earnings last night. They're up. And like I said... The Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble, just the earnings stocks are up, everything else down. What do you got for us?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We had an earlier crash last hour on the inbound Kennedy at Division. Another one came across about 15 minutes ago on the inbound side at Ohio. That has been cleared as well, but some resulting congestion. O'Hare into downtown is about 30 minutes. Still not terrible, but a bit slower than it was before that crash. From Montrose, 20 minutes. Express lanes are at about 20 minutes as well. So the crash has been clear, but a bit of a slowdown on the inbound Kennedy due to a crash that's been cleared at Ohio. No issues on the outbound side. Eden's looking good in both directions, as is the Eisenhower. Stevenson looking good, too. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Nothing out west in the suburban tollways, either.
off the expressways, we have one crash in the area that's out in Carroll Stream, Army Trail Road at Bloomingdale Road. There is an accident, but everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, some rain in the forecast. It rained a bit earlier this morning. It's dry now, but rain in the area will reach a high of 77, which is right near where we're at now. It's cloudy and 76, so we'll be in the mid to upper 70s all day with lots of clouds and rain on and off. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and scorching today, a high of 117. That's about as hot as it gets down there. Right now it's clear and 88 degrees in Phoenix. In sports, White Sox snapped their three-game skid. They shut out the Indians 4-0 in Cleveland. Cubs had their three-game winning streak snapped. They fell behind 8-0 and made it somewhat interesting late, but still lost 12-7 in Cincinnati. Cubs are 4-2. Diamondbacks lost to Texas 7-4. And as we touched on a bit earlier in the show, legendary Illinois coach, in fact, the all-time winningest coach in Illinois basketball history, Lou Henson, passed away. He was 88. Chief.
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Anybody see that triple play of Bryant last night?
I did.
I did not. I turned it off before that.
It was interesting because the replays looked to me, I mean, they showed about six times, kind of like he trapped it, which if so, then it should have only been a double play.
Matty Menz on first and third, and there was a shot to his right. He reached down, kind of blocked the umpire away, and I thought he picked it right. He picked it clean off the grass, and
it was real close.
But so they called it a catch.
Yeah, and he stepped right on third because that guy took off and fired to first, and that guy was long gone. So. It was a triple play. I mean, like a nanosecond. That's what got him out of the inning with the guy who couldn't find the backstop.
Maples. Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch it. I turned the game off because I was so frustrated with the Cubs pitching. But I assume it was reviewed, and they still ruled it a catch.
I'm going to ask you, Mr. Baseball, where's Kevin when I need him? That is not reviewable.
A trap versus not a trap? Yeah, of course it is.
Just saying, last night, all they talked about is how that play is not reviewable. I have no idea why. That's what I'm asking you.
I'd have to look it up.
I thought it was really close.
Oh yeah, it was definitely close. But the way he came up with it, he thought he had it. Let's put it that way. He didn't.
No question. Yeah. I mean, he went right to the bag and then threw it first.
Yeah.
He definitely thought he did.
If he missed it by a nano inch, let's put it this way, it was a great acting job.
which also shows tremendous professionalism.
Yeah, but Matty, watch the replay. The cameras are lousy now anyway. I don't think they have anywhere near the camera crews. Was the night in the Nationals game where they thought there was lightning coming? And they sent all the camera crews to for protection.
The rule is, by the way, so traps are reviewable in the outfield. They are not reviewable in the infield.
There you go.
So since it was, yep. Since
meanwhile, did anyone check in on the White Sox game at Cleveland?
I watched more of that than I watched the Cubs game.
Now, are you ready for this? What was unique about the crowd?
Well, I saw they had the cardboard cutouts in the crowd, which was funny.
And the cardboard cutouts there, unlike every other place that I've watched, were socially separated.
You're right. I noticed that, too, and I didn't even think about it. But they had them all 6 feet apart.
I looked at them, and somebody commented, and they said, this is the only stadium in the major leagues where the cutouts are separated by 6 feet and more.
So if you really wanted to piss somebody off or get them in trouble, could you get a cardboard cutout of a guy sitting next to a cardboard cutout of a girl that's not his wife?
There you go.
I think the Sox have that because – I don't know if you noticed, but right behind the plate, you have A.J. Cutout of A.J. Pierczynski with his head leaning to the side like he doesn't give a you-know-what, which he typically didn't, next to some woman.
God. Was Giolito pissed off at... I was seeing scenes of him going to the dugout and slamming stuff around. He was taken out in the sixth. Was he mad at Ricky?
I don't know.
Or maybe that was the first game where he was lousy. It could have been. But
I don't know.
So David, I assume you have buku shares of this Kodak at $2, right?
Yeah. You talk. I will never doubt you again as far as, you know, insider or conspiracy. Never doubt you. I mean, the guy bought 95,000 shares, you know, on the 24th of June. And, I mean, I forget what they said, something like the average daily option volume was 7,000 contracts. And the day before this was leaked, it was 100,000 and then went to 300,000.
For those of you who don't know,
and I mean, there's stuff that went on with this that's beyond.
For those of you, I went through the whole routine yesterday. I didn't, what the hell's the name of the thing, Manny? Operation something something, all points. Anyway, Operation whatever it is. There's a way where the government, is trying to truncate the vaccine process, the flu shot process, basically. So if four or five or six or ten, I don't know if there's a limit, drugs make it to the third stage trial where they don't appear to kill anybody, and we're just trying to figure out how good they are. We have an idea that they may work, meaning if you give them to people, less people get sick than, you know, they don't have to be like 90% coverage. They could be 40% and still be used, because flu shots clearly aren't 90. Anyway, what happens here now, normally that company has to go out, and once it's approved, they then start essentially making up the batches of shots or whatever. What we're doing now, we, our government, is if they're promising, they want, on the government's dime, on your and my dime, they might have as many as six or seven of these in full production before they know if they work or not. So the idea being, if one of them or two of them or three of them work on Thanksgiving Day, and the FDA gives you the okay while you're eating your turkey dinner, and Friday morning you'll be able to go get a shot, or Saturday. They already want like 200-300 million doses. And with the perfect knowledge that if there's five drugs, probably three or four of them you're going to throw away on our dime. And I've been wondering how lucrative these contracts are, but being my suspicion and my view of the world, and people, the government now has every firm that's big enough has their nose right up to behind of them. Well, somehow or another, Kodak, which is a chemical company, I mean, I used to make films and those kinds of things, and the chemicals that went with it, somehow they latched onto one of these contracts. And I don't know if it's for some kind of a chemical medium that you have to put the serum into. I have no idea. I'm asking you that, David. Somehow or another, they got one of these contracts. And in the last week, the stock has gone from 2 to 50, roughly. So I'm going to say that these are pretty good contracts to have, David. Just guessing. Now,
they got $794 million loan, which is more than the total capitalization of the shares outstanding, and a 25-year loan from the government?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's great to have the right lobbyist. I mean, look at the trucking company. What'd they get? The Federal Reserve gave them a loan, and then the Federal Reserve ended up with 12.5. Is the Federal Reserve? I might have been the Treasury. I'm not positive. I shouldn't say that. One of the two of them are going to end up with 12.5% of the stock in the company. The two big companies, Gateway Express and somebody else that got together a few years ago. The company owes the government money, and they haven't paid them. They're suing them, and they gave them this massive loan. I don't even think they paid them back what they owed them with the loan they just gave them. You couldn't write fiction like this, David.
It's unbelievable. I started watching this American Greed. Do you know that show?
Yeah.
So they had this thing about the Wolf of Wall Street, you know, the penny stock guy and whatever, went to jail and scammed people out of $200 million or $220 million or whatever it was, and was paid back $12.5 million, and then he sued the company that produced the film because supposedly they had dirty hands and that kind of thing, and that lawsuit didn't go anywhere. But because he's failed to pay back, you know, he's got supposedly big time money hidden in Swiss banks and the like, the government now has all the rights to any residual monies that come from the showing of the film, which are substantial. Now, the question becomes, are those monies that are accumulating and going to the government being returned to the people who were scammed out of it?
I'm going to say the answer to that is no. I don't think there's
How did I doubt you for 4 years and all your conspiracy theories?
I don't think there's any chance that we care about who it goes to, but I mean, my question is, what exactly are these guys? How does Pfizer or Merck or any of these guys end up needing Kodak? And whatever happened to Eastman? How did he get booted? It simply used to be Eastman Kodak, EK. Did they decide Eastman, they don't like him anymore, and they tossed him, or what?
Well, I don't think he's... I'm pretty sure he's not alive.
I'm sure he's not alive, but... The, Maddie, when you hear me once in a while talk about... I think we'd almost be better off without patents. And I say that, and people, God, this guy's nuts. If you took the history of patent law like I did from a priest at Notre Dame, 2 semesters, in fact, patent law and antitrust law and those kinds of things, virtually every big patent in the early days was stolen from somebody. I won't say every, but a lot of them. So Kodak was a camera company. They made film and stuff. Well, these guys came out. They're known as the Brown Camera Company. And they came out with the Brownie Instamatic, which was a before Polaroid, right? So Kodak essentially started making it and just blew up their patent. So Brown sued Kodak, and Kodak had a lot more dough, and they strung it through the courts. Does this sound familiar, man? For years and years. So they ended up having to buy the Brown Camera Company because Brown was out of money. So the Brownie Instamatic that was the Kodak product really was a company that they put under by stealing their patent. And at the end, finally the judge ruled in Brown Camera Company's favor, and they didn't exist anymore. So what was that all about? So, I mean, I don't think Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, did he? I mean, really? I mean, when you go right down the list, there's not a whole lot of these places that actually were legit, in some of this stuff. And I'm not so sure it's not goes on today. You know, if you get a patent, man, if you and your bro are into different stuff, suppose you guys find a formula for whatever barbecue sauce or whatever. You think for a second that patent, if you're going to get it, and they'll say, here, you guys got a patent. If you say, hey, but somebody's stealing our stuff, they have no part of the patent office does not police any of that crap. It's up to you. They police nothing. So was one company that, they wanted us to raise money, but we don't really do that for people. But I was sort of enthralled by it. There were these people down in Joliet. So I went down and talked to them, and I just gave them a couple of recommendations of people. Nothing on our end or anything like that, because we don't do that. Wish we did, but we don't. I said, well, do you guys have a patent? Oh, no, well, we'd never get a patent. Why? He says, if you go to a patent office and you give them something unique with all the schematics and all that stuff, you can guarantee it that somebody in there is going to leak it to somebody and somebody can try and steal it. That's the status of our government. You know, and I'll tell you what, it sucks. I honestly believe it. It's not like everybody there is bad. But she said, no, if we ever want to lose our niche, the way to do it would be to try and get a patent. Somebody will steal it tomorrow. I don't know how we got on this topic, but David accused me of being a conspiracy guy. All right, David, so we didn't have any of that stock. So we missed, what, $50 in 5 days? Jeez. That's a lot. I don't know when I've seen one much better than that in a long time, have you?
No.
And again, it's all government generated. So you can't tell me that how many people in your mind, Maddie, and because you're a junior, how many people do you think by the time they got the loan approved, by the time they applied for it, by the time there was a lobbying firm, I'm sure, how many people would you say knew all about the loan and the contract before the stock moved? And some people started to buy it. I'm going to say it's got to be upwards of 500 knew about it. Easy. Now, do you think our SEC is digging through those first 200-300 trades? Now, that'd be on us if we ever did something like that, and actually cares. I mean, who are they going to find? They might find Munchkin's kid, Trump's kid. I mean, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying they don't want to know who these people are because they're afraid of what they might find. It's like Jay Pritzker not wanting to see who stole the most taxes from Amazon. He's liable to find his wife's name on a list. I mean, it's just... I mean, we don't.
Yeah, I mean, there was blogs. I mean, and you know the worth of blogs, less than the paper they're written on. But there were blogs that Donnie Trump was in on the loan deal.
But I'm saying we can find these people if we want. If the trade came from PTI, we know who did it. All they got to do is ask us, right?
Yeah, and if all of a sudden, a day before, somebody does 10,000 calls, you know, which obviously there was huge blocks when they went from 7,000 average to 100,000. I mean, you can find those trades.
Well, David, when it was trading $2, were there options on it?
Oh, yeah.
Really? A $2 stack, you had options on it?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I was looking last night, and I saw some 750 puts for September at $1.50. And I said, you know what? You know, that's not too bad. You know what? You sell a few of those, and if they want to give you the stock at $6 with all this stuff,
yeah,
you're not going to straighten it out by September. I take $1.50 on a 750 put.
So, no, what David's talking about, he's not talking about anything naked. He's saying you put up the $6 to buy the stock. Okay, so it's a cash-secured put. You can do that in an IRA. You can do that. If you have the money to take the stock, it's not naked. So it's not just so.
And it closed at 33. So I mean, I'm not saying maybe it's worth $2, maybe it's worth $1. But you know, this mess, if there is investigation or you know whatever, government you know coming in and blocking whatever the story is, it's not going to be done by September 18th. I don't believe.
So you know, if it was you or I, We would have the names of the people who made those trades by this afternoon,
right?
But if we find out that they're the right names, then I guess we got to back off. So, Maddie, how do we get off whatever schmo list we're on and get on the right name list?
So we can know about these things well in advance. Well, that would be nice.
Well, know about it, and if we do them, we never get caught, even though there's laws against it.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know. I mean. They're not ever getting into trouble for it. It's more once in a while we actually might come across we might come across a hot tip that actually works. But A, I think it's wrong, and B, I think I'm going to get caught. So I mean, I would never even do it, or certainly pass it on to a client.
No,
these people don't seem to have any qualms about that. They obviously are above the law. I mean, how do you not think that one's going to?
When the old, it's not what you know, but who you know.
Well, let me get this straight. $2 stack, big government loan, been in the works for a month. I know all about it. My kid works for Mnuchin or whoever the hell gave the loan, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy not just a 20 lot and be minorly greedy, but I'm going to go buy 1,000 calls. For God's sake, why not go pee off your front porch? But before you do that, turn your car around and turn the brights on yourself. I mean, right?
And put a flag up and say, see what I'm doing?
Yeah, I mean, we're not even, I mean, could you possibly put yourself in the headlights any more than that, David?
Oh, I would guess, I would be really surprised if you didn't, from the volume that they were talking about, 7,000 to 100,000 to 300,000 contracts, I bet you'd easily be able to find orders with 5,000 contracts, even maybe 10,000 at a time.
Well, hey, your Mr. Technical Analyst, everything's on the chart, is the 32.9 drop in GDP. Are you comfortable that that's on your charts?
Well, it looks like it. I mean, it's not, other than maybe silver with a huge opening, it doesn't look like, you know, the markets are leaving huge gaps or anything.
I was just talking to
even silver, you know, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, you made a new high close lower than you had an inside day yesterday, and then now, you know, trying to poke out some of the daily lows today. So even that had a little bit of a warning sign.
Well, we have only 2 minutes, David, but I just had our new great guest, Dan Gelitis, was on, and I asked him, I said, Dan, you've impressed me by doing this fixed income stuff and be able to find these pearls that nobody else can. I said, but in all our experience, And we're pretty proud of our age and say we've seen most of this before. And I said, Dan, I have never seen a 34% drop in the GDP. And if it happens again next quarter, there's nothing in my experience other than reading about the Great Depression would give me a clue as to what's going to happen here. What's your opinion on that?
No, I get it. I get it. It's hard to imagine the markets sitting up here. And, you know, I've talked for a couple, 3 weeks, you know, with what, you know, S&P 500 earnings are, that, you know, I can't see, you know, 3,200 is it. And, I mean, it's poked it above it several times, but it keeps backing up. And I'm not saying, hey, this is the top, markets can overrun by 10%. But I do think, at least for the short term, there's more risk downside than upside.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. If this number is that bad with everybody getting the $600 check, and they cut the check back to 200 or 300, I mean, I don't see how the hell next quarter is not going to be a lot worse, David. I mean, I hope I'm wrong.
And then you got the election, and you have to factor that in. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's going to be a swing in time, no question.
All right, bud, take care of yourself. S&P futures now down 38.50. They're sinking again. NASDAQ futures down 134. Back tomorrow, Stacks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.